From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Before the story of sexually abusive priests became front page news, the Catholic Church was well aware that there were problems. How they dealt with it is the subject of Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Michael D'Antonio's new book, Mortal Sins, Sex, Crime, and the Era of the Catholic Scandal. It's now been 30 years since this got started, and sexual abuse by Catholic priests has led to the conviction and imprisonment of 400 American priests. It's cost the church over $3 billion, at least, and counting. It's led to the shutdown of 1,400 parishes in the United States. Michael D'Antonio is the author of Mortal Sins. He joins us from the studios of KPCC Radio in Pasadena, California. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Ross. Good to be with you.
After 30 years of these scandals, it might be hard for some to remember how high the Catholic Church's moral authority used to be.
Well, that's a great starting point, because I begin the book by talking about how when Rome and when the Pope stopped being a temporal leader with an actual broad territory to control, they became a moral empire. And their claim to power was that they defined what was moral in the world, and it held for about 100 years. They could stake the high ground and people listened. But when your institution is racked by scandal like this and thousands of claims are made and deemed to be credible, indicating widespread sexual abuse of children, it's very hard to hold on to that moral authority. And now I think everyone, for good and for ill, looks at priests much differently, looks at bishops and the institutional church in a more skeptical way.
And as you write in the book, it may even be that moral authority, allowed priests to get away with things that other men might not be able to get away with.
Well, and that's really part of the trauma for people who are victimized. And I do want to make the point that the book is about a very serious topic, but it's also incredibly inspiring. This is the story of a human rights movement, and it begins much like the American Civil Rights Movement in the 1960s with people who had been harmed demanding to be heard. And over a long stretch of time, they succeeded in hundreds of places by using the courts, challenging the moral authority of the Catholic hierarchy, and pressing forward. And along the way, people who might be regarded as victims actually became the victors, and they redefined the terms of the conversation. They used the internet. They used all the organizing techniques that infuse movements like the Arab Spring. But they did it first and with great effect.
Well, in reading the book, to me, it was unfortunate that it took that citizen effort to make things turn around, because apparently in the early 80s, before this broke as front page news, there were some in the church who were well aware that these cases were out there and also prescient about the impact they would have on the church.
Yes, you're talking in particular about a most amazing man named Father Tom Doyle. Tom was on the fast track to becoming a bishop and maybe something higher. He worked in the Vatican Embassy in the mid-1980s. He was assigned to check out a single report of an abusive priest. What he discovered was that this man had 200 victims. He essentially blazed a trail of crime across Louisiana. And then he discovered that it was not an isolated problem, that just about every diocese in America, and there are more than 200 of them, had complaints against priests who had abused their position as pastors, and they were covering them all up. So he, along with an amazing lawyer and a colleague who is a priest and a psychiatrist, wrote a sweeping report warning, sort of like the report that was written warning President Bush of the imminent Al-Qaeda attack that was ignored. Tom Doyle wrote an incredibly detailed report saying there's going to be a $1 billion problem involving many, many priests and sweeping across the country, and that the official church should get ahead of this. And the response was a silence. It was received by every bishop in America, put on a shelf, and never addressed.
There were even earlier warning signs. You cite a study from 1969 that estimated that as many as 1 in 4 priests suffered from serious psychiatric illness. Doesn't sound like that really registered with the church.
No, and this is one of the tragedies, I think, that lie behind this story. In the 1960s, there were some very progressive people who wanted to take a look at the lives of priests. And no matter what your perspective is, I think it's hard to deny that priestly celibacy is a controversial issue, whether men in these numbers, and I actually think it's a very rare person who can be celibate successfully and in a healthy way, can actually serve effectively. And so the Vatican actually requested this study be done, and it was discovered that there was a huge problem with developmental issues, psychiatric issues among priests. It was a warning shot that, again, was ignored as the church under John Paul II moved in a conservative direction. And that was not the only early report. There was another one in the 70s. And it just seemed like no one wanted to look at reality. And when reality includes what is essentially a crime wave of attacks on children, you can't safely ignore it. And no matter what you try to do to cover it up, it's going to come out.
I'm speaking with Michael D'Antonio. His book is called Mortal Sins, Sex, Crime, and the Era of the Catholic Scandal. Well, there was denial, but after 1985, due to some strong reporting on this, many journalists shied away from talking about this. It finally broke in a major way in the media, in Time magazine, and then everywhere else, and we've been hearing it now constantly since then. Once the Catholic hierarchy couldn't get away with denying that the abuse had taken place, they came up with reasons for why it was taking place that were not really solid reasons either.
That's exactly right. You know, the Pope actually came to America in the early 1990s and almost literally wagged his finger at everyone else. He said that this was a problem of Western society and that priests were actually themselves victims of a wanton and permissive culture. He also blamed the media, saying that we reporters were far too interested in scandal and not— and that this was some kind of exploitive activity that the press was doing rather than a public good. Well, as we later discovered, the number of cases actually reported in the media are far outweighed by the number that were kept secret. And this struggle to get the documents out and to force the truth into the light has produced tens of thousands of complaints, hundreds of thousands of pages of documents, all of which were at one point secret and now reveal a pattern of abuse and cover-up, literally around the world.
Has the Catholic Church figured out why so many of its priests were sexually abusing children? Have they finally figured out what the cause of this has been?
You know, I don't think that the bureaucracy that is the church has taken this seriously. They've done their own studies. There actually was a study released that blamed the 60s, if you can believe this. Mm. You know, it was a repetition of the permissive culture complaint. And others do know what happened. You know, we know that there was a selection problem among priests that, as the early studies showed, there were too many men who were not well-developed psychologically who had problems. And some of them actually sought to be priests to escape the world. They thought that they could hide away in that position and maybe that the vow of celibacy would force them not to act on their criminal urges. And instead, they discovered that they were actually quite powerful and that they could get away with more than the average person. I have stories in the book about how law enforcement agencies used to cut deals with bishops when they caught priests in sex crimes. So you take people who might be troubled to begin with, who have these criminal tendencies, put them in a position of power, and surround them with protection, you've got a recipe for disaster. And I'm not sure that the recipe has been changed yet. I still think that there are too many problem priests and that there's a system that allows them too much latitude.
So you think these sexual abuse cases by priests probably are continuing right to this day?
Well, I'm personally aware of cases involving people under the age of 18 that have been reported this year. Hmm. So it is always going to be there. You know, this is one of the dark aspects of human nature. We do have people who abuse, and we will always need to be alert to protect children. The problem here is that we have a system, an almost a subculture, that resists outside interest and control. And we don't yet have a transparent bureaucracy that we can turn to and get honest answers from.
What did people tell you the Catholic Church should be doing to make sure that this doesn't recur besides opening up the system? What concrete steps do they say should be taken?
Well, one of the best things that I think could happen would be to bring lay people, you know, the people in the pews, into management positions, onto boards that run churches, run parishes and agencies. In many Protestant denominations, the pastor is hired by a board, and the board oversees what goes on in the congregation. If a complaint of abuse against a pastor came to a board like that, made up of mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers, you can bet that they wouldn't ignore it. And I think that bringing the whole community into the process of running these institutions would bring a breath of fresh air and a better perspective that could help enormously.
Has the new Pope, Pope Francis, done anything in this regard, or does anything about his history before he became Pope suggest what he might do?
You know, I don't know that anything about his history suggests that he might do something different, but I do see in his persona a difference. This is a man who seems very eager to connect with people on a basic level. He's much more humble than his predecessor. He seems to understand the pain that people feel. I know that there are survivors in Argentina who are lobbying to get an audience with him, and I think that he may have a better perspective on it. He certainly is outraged by what's gone on, both by the abuse scandal and by the financial scandal in the church. And more than any pope in 30 years, I have hope in him.
Michael D'Antonio, thank you so much for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Michael D'Antonio's new book, Mortal Sins, Sex, Crime, and the Era of the Catholic Scandal. This is KUOW, The Conversation.